Well, this past week, in fact, even yesterday, a whole day in San Francisco was devoted at the American Geophysical Union meeting, its fall meeting in San Francisco. There were at least 24 presentations about research concerning Yellowstone National Park. And if people aren't aware, it is an active volcano. It has been for millions of years. And it has the world's largest concentration of thermal features. And the heat comes from the volcano that created all of that current geography that the park has 640,000 years ago after the last big, gigantic volcanic eruption. Now, the cycle of Yellowstone's volcanic eruptions, from the geologist's point of view, have gone sort of like this. 2.1 million years ago, then another 1.3 million years ago, then that last big one 640,000 years ago. And some scientists wonder if the volcano is now overdue for another explosion, or perhaps it's headed for quiet extinction. There were several different papers at this Geophysical Union meeting that focused on thermal and land deformation, which means bulges either rising or subsiding, in Yellowstone. And satellite radar images confirm there is a large area of uplift, about 30 by 40 kilometers, which is 19 by 25 miles, centered under the north rim of the Yellowstone caldera. Geologists call that the Norris uplift anomaly, which began rising up in 1997 a few millimeters a year. Writing about this bulge, the United States Geological Survey scientists, appearing before the American Geophysical Union, spoke in a paper called Stress Transfer, Thermal Unrest, and Implications for Seismic Hazards Associated with the Norris Uplift Anomaly in Yellowstone National Park. Well, now, these are actual words from the abstract on that paper. Quote, "The spring and summer of 2003 has been a time of vigorous thermal unrest in the Norris Uplift Anomaly. Unrest began with the eruption of Steamboat Geyser in May of 2000 and intensified in the 2003 spring and summer with the eruption of Porkchop Geyser on July 16th, which had been dormant since 1989. From April 1 through July 1, 2003, the temperature of waters in Porkchop's vent increased continuously." And I have a beautiful photograph of not only Porkchop, but Norris and several of the other geysers and the hot paths where they've had to move walks and that sort of thing at my website, www.earthfiles.com. It is amazing to look at the photograph of the Porkchop geyser and realize that it has not been active since 1989 until July 16th of 2003. And there's also been the formation of a 75-meter line of fumaroles. This is where the water has basically steamed out, and it's just down to hardly anything, just north of the Norris Geyser Basin. And there's a general trend of increasing spring and ground temperatures there. It's getting hotter. And the geologists say the National Park Service has closed some footpaths in the geyser basin owing to near-boiling ground temperatures. The uplift has also led to an increase in seismic hazard potential in the area of uplift, unquote. This is from the Geophysical Union presentation yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other USGS research this year was conducted by geologist Lisa Morgan. She took a team underwater at Mary Bay in Yellowstone Lake. Mary Bay was apparently created 13,000 years ago when a gigantic steam explosion ejected rocks and gas all around that area. And nearby, at the bottom of the lake itself, there is what park geologists call a structural dome that is 2,100 feet across and 100 feet high. Now, is the dome an indication of more pressure building below the lake? And could that blow like something did 13,000 years ago? Dr. Morgan thinks that the dome is static, but in Mary Bay, her diving team reported 250 thermal vents, fissures, geyser basins, and 30-foot-high columns of silica that had been deposited. Now, what is happening at Yellowstone? Could all of the hot temperature changes, new steam and water eruptions, and large land bulge be related? Are they precursors to a big steam or water or carbon dioxide gas or lava eruption that might be coming? Well, I talked about these questions on December 11th this week with Hank Hessler. He's PhD, supervisory geologist for Yellowstone National Park in Yellowstone. He lives there and he works there.
Okay, we'll listen to him now.
You're right. It's all related because it is caused by the heat from the Yellowstone volcano, as far as this bulge and all the hydrothermal features, all the hot springs, geysers, mud pots, and steam vents in Yellowstone are a result of the volcanic forces. Does this signify an imminent danger? We don't believe so, because there are things that you analyze and look for to indicate any sort of imminent hazard that's, you know, getting ready to occur. And
like what?
Well, let's go through the process here and see if you can tell me. If we started having a vast amount, you know, cubic miles of molten rock starting to move to the surface of the Earth, what do you think might happen?
Probably seismic events.
You've got it. That's our number one indicator. And they would not be minor seismic events. These would be seismic events in the 5 to 6 magnitude, and basically people in Yellowstone can feel seismic events that begin about 3. So by the time they're up to magnitude 5 or so, they're 100 times can be felt basically 100 times easier. So I mean, if we have a lot of molten rock forcing its way up to the surface of the Earth, as this rock moves up, there's going to be some fairly significant earthquakes. And then if it got to the point that we were having swarms of felt earthquakes, we would focus in a lot on the next thing would be the ground deformation or the ground uplift or subsidence. Do we see highly unusual patterns of that? That would then tend to focus us in on perhaps the scale of the eruption and whether it would just be a small local event or you know, perhaps bigger. And then from there, we would also start looking at the chemistry and temperatures.
And none of these things that you have just outlined have occurred at all in 2003?
None. In fact, last year, 2002, we had some interesting earthquake swarms around Grant Village, and progressing from Grant Village towards the caldera boundary that were just fascinating scientific-wise. Now, we haven't had any such swarms this year, and we've had one magnitude 4.4 earthquake. That's been the strongest quake. So the seismicity is at or below background levels for Yellowstone.
And the last big eruption of the Yellowstone volcano was 640,000 years ago. Is it fair to say that neither you nor any geologist existing on the planet today knows if we are now at another point where, if there is something like this 640,000, 650,000 year cycle, that we could be moving into a period where it could blow again?
I think that's a fair statement. You're right in your statement that Yellowstone is a very, very active volcano. I think a main question that comes up, is it something to be feared? I don't think it's something to be feared, but it's something we need to be aware of and keep our finger on the pulse of. Now, you know, if you want to start playing the odds game, the most likely volcanic type of eruption would be just a simple lava flow. And we've had 30 of those basically since 640,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And those, you know, definitely if they flow over a road, they affect travel, but they don't affect anything regionally. They just vary very locally, just like at Hawaii, whatever, they depending on the type of lava flow.
So bottom line, as a geologist who works and lives in Yellowstone Park, you're not concerned about there being some kind of geothermal or volcanic event anytime soon?
That's it, exactly. Now, am I diligent, and do I keep aware constantly? That's my job. And do we have calls at 1:30 in the morning because something looks interesting and piques our curiosity as scientists? Yes. But have any of those then gone on to indicate major changes? No.